This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستغفر ونؤمن به وتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد عن عبد الله بن عمر عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا فليس منا. It is narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever does not show compassion to the youth and recognize the rights of the elders is not one of us. This hadith is narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and it is graded sahih, authentic by the scholars of hadith. So today inshallah I want to give a brief discussion and explanation of this hadith. Because what this hadith gives us is the two sides of a cohesive social community. The compassion for the youth and the respect for the elders. That these two things go hand in hand for any community to run well. In general, when there are problems in a community, it boils down to one of two things, right? It boils down to either the youth feel that they are not, they've been treated too harshly or they're not being treated as adults. They feel like, they've been given a very high level of piety they need to live up to. And, life tends to be difficult for the youth in some cases. In other cases, it's the elders who feel disrespected. It's the elders who feel like the youth don't talk to them well, they don't respect them, they don't fulfill their rights. And in modern society, it's both. In modern society, there is a strong movement to disrespect elders, where the focus is entirely on yourself, that all that matters is myself and my rights and my voice and my ideas, and the entire idea of respecting elders is alien to this modern culture. At the same time, in response to this, we also have more harshness towards the youth. So what's wrong with harshness towards the youth? Let's start with that. Inshallah, what we're going to do is, the first khutbah will focus on the first half of the hadith, which is the importance of showing compassion towards the youth. And the second khutbah will focus on the second half of the hadith, which is the importance of recognizing the rights of our elders. So compassion towards the youth, what does this mean? And what happens when you don't do this? Recently, we ran a few surveys on young Muslims as to why they stop practicing Islam, or why they stop going to the masjid, or why they stop attending Islamic lectures. And the most common thread we found is that they had a negative experience, right? This is the most common trend we found, not in South Africa, in the entire world, right? So this is a survey that went out to youngsters in the USA, in the UK, in the Arab countries, and in South Africa, and in many other countries. And we found a very common trend, that very often when a young person was treated harshly in the masjid, that became their view of the masjid. That became their view of religious people. And this pushed them away from the religion. So for example, a youngster may go to the masjid and he may not be aware of the dress code for that masjid, for example, or the etiquette of that masjid. Or maybe it's a young lady who, she's still struggling with hijab. She's not aware yet of what is proper hijab. And someone was rude to them, somebody was harsh to them, somebody publicly humiliated them because of a sin or a mistake or a something they did not understand. And because of that, they get put off coming to the masjid. And they end up drifting away from the religion. This is a very common trend found throughout the Muslim world today. That when people are harsh towards the youngsters, it chases them away from the religion. It alienates them from the religion. Right? So, this hadith about the importance of being compassionate towards the youth, it is very important that everyone practices it. And where does this advice come from? Psychologically, those of us who are older need to understand something about young people. And this is something we tend to forget. Young people are still growing. They are still developing their ideas. They are still making mistakes. They are still gaining life experience. They're going to slip up. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to get things wrong. And when we expect perfection from them, we make it so much harder for them to learn from their mistakes and to grow. Because we make life unnecessarily difficult for them. And we do this at every level of life, right? So for example, when it comes to religion, many of us expect teenagers to be more pious than the awliya. Let's be frank about this. Many parents expect their teenage children to be at the awliya level of piety. And when they don't see that from their children, you know, they have this anger and this hatred towards their children. And we see it also with school, right? That some of us expect perfect A's every term for every subject. And then the kids can't live up to these expectations. And we know what happens in our community when the kids can't live up to these expectations. So compassion is so important. And where compassion comes from is understanding that someone younger than you does not have the life experience you have. They don't have the wisdom that you have. They are going to make mistakes. They're going to get things wrong. And that is okay as long as they are learning from their mistakes, as long as they are growing from their mistakes, as long as they are able to extract lessons from their mistakes and gain wisdom through making those mistakes. But when we close the doors to making any mistakes, then what happens is we leave them no room for improvement. We make them feel like, you know, you're either perfect or you're out of the fold of Islam. You're either perfect or you're not good enough to be my son. You know, we create this level of expectations that's impossible to live up to. Now let's look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he dealt with the youth. Because the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with the youth, this is the sunnah, this is the explanation of this hadith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that none of you truly believe or you're not one of us unless you are compassionate towards the youth. And his life is full of example upon example of this compassion towards the youth. Whether it was a youngster dealing with their desires or a youngster making worldly mistakes, we have examples of both. Let's start with an example of a worldly mistake. Right? We have the example of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Anas ibn Malik started working for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was 10 years old. And he worked for him for 10 years. And he said in those 10 years of working for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not hear the Prophet even once say a bad word to him. Not once. Even though he made a lot of mistakes. I mean, from the age of 10 to 20, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, right? So Anas ibn Malik reports that once, when he was like 10 or 11 years old, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him some money and told him to go to the marketplace and to buy certain items for the house with that money. Anas ibn Malik left the house and he saw some children his age playing in the streets. And he got caught up and he started playing with them and he forgot about the errand. He forgot that he needed to go to the marketplace. In the meanwhile, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his house. He's waiting for Anas to come back, you know, with the groceries. And Anas is not coming. He starts to get worried. He goes outside and he sees Anas playing with the other children. And he walks up to Anas and with a smile on his face, he asks him, you know, what happened to the groceries? And Anas ibn Malik says, I forgot. So he said, okay, go and buy it now. Anas reaches into his pockets and realizes he lost the money. So not only did he not buy the groceries, he lost the money. Now pause here. How does the average parent today react if you tell your teenager to go buy the groceries and they not only forget to buy the groceries, but they lose the money in the process? How would you react? How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react? He laughed. He laughed because he understood this is a child. Children are not going to have the same level of experience and wisdom as adults. They're going to make mistakes. He laughed, he gave Anas a bit more money and told him to go and buy the groceries. Right? So Anas went, he bought the groceries, he fulfilled the task, but this became a memory for him. That when he messed up, when he, you know, failed to live up to the expectation of the elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the example of how to deal with children when they make mistakes. And that example is to have that compassion towards them, to understand this is a child, this is someone younger than me, this is a person who's going to make more mistakes than me, this is a person who doesn't have life experience. It's okay, let them learn from it, let them grow from it. Don't expect them to perform on the same level as someone who is 30 or 40 years old. And we see this even when it comes to dealing with sin, when it comes to dealing with desire. So for example, young people may find it harder to lower their gaze than an elderly person, right? When you're in your 40s or 50s and your whole life you've been practicing the purification of the soul and learning how to lower your gaze, it's easier for you to do than someone who just hit puberty and is dealing with those desires for the first time. And even in this, we have an example in the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a fascinating example where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was going for Hajj, he was sharing a camel with his cousin Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Now, most of us know about Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, right? Fadl is the brother of Abdullah, and he's less well known in the seerah. This is like the one incident he's known for. So Fadl was the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, making him the younger cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, some people get confused here about the age gap. To put things into context, the Prophet's uncle Abbas was just 2 years older than him. So all of Abbas's children, the Prophet's cousins, were like 20 years younger than him, right? So this is why there's this big age gap between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his cousin. So Abdullah and Fadl were teenagers when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, even though they were his cousins. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going for Hajj, and he's sharing a camel with Fadl ibn Abbas. And while they're riding, a young girl walks up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him some questions about the deen. Because understand, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going for Hajj, for many people living outside Medina, this is the only time to interact with him and to ask him questions. So this young lady, she walks up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she starts asking him some questions about Islam, and she's a beautiful young girl, probably a teenager. Fadl ibn Abbas, a handsome young man, also a teenager, and they both start looking at each other. So while she's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fadl is looking at this girl in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now again, context. This is in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in Hajj, in the month of Hajj. And we have a youngster failing to lower his gaze. Again, look at how we react when a youngster fails to lower his gaze. And look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that teenagers are still making mistakes. They're still getting used to their desires. They're still learning how to lower their gaze. And so he gently guides Fadl into the art of lowering the gaze. He distracts his gaze. He like basically gently asks Fadl to look somewhere else, right? To point something else out to him so he looks in a different direction. And he continued answering this girl's questions about Islam. Notice, he didn't chase the girl away. He didn't tell her, as some people do these days, you are fitna, get out of our sight. You know, some people have this kind of attitude. This is not the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead, he taught the young man to lower his gaze. Right? Very important point. But again, he did it with gentleness. Because as he continued with the conversation, again, Fadl starts looking at this girl, and again, he distracts him. The third time that Fadl looks at this girl, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that whoever lowers their gaze for the sake of Allah will taste the sweetness of iman. So again, look at the methodology. This is a young man committing what is a minor sin in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while on Hajj. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gently turns his attention somewhere else. And when that doesn't work, he doesn't reprimand him, he doesn't shout him, he doesn't demean him, he doesn't, you know, cast judgment upon him. He simply motivates him to do good. He motivates him by telling him the reward of lowering the gaze. How many of us do this? How many of us actually teach our youngsters the reward of lowering the gaze? The reward of avoiding zina? The reward of being a righteous young person? How many of us teach the youth that if you are righteous in your youth, you'll be under the shade of Allah's throne on the last day? Instead of being harsh and mean and judgmental towards them, motivate them to be better. Show them the rewards of doing good deeds. This is the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one last story. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting in the masjid, and a young man came running into the masjid very worried. And this young man walks up to Umar and he tells Umar, "Oh Umar, I was in the marketplace selling dates and I kissed a girl. What can I do? What should I do?" So this young man made a mistake, right? The young man, he kissed a girl, and Umar and he begins to feel that he committed a sin, which he did, and he wants, you know, to find a way to repent for his sin. So he goes to Umar radiallahu anhu and he tells him, Umar tells him, "You shouldn't have told me about your sin. You should have kept it to yourself and made istighfar." But he wanted advice. He wanted someone to tell him how to make up for his sin. Again, you know, the attitude of the youth of that time, they want to make up for their sins. They want to do good deeds. So he goes to Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr gives him the same advice. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in the masjid, surrounded by the Sahaba. And this young man walks up to him and tells him the story, that he was in the marketplace, he was doing business with a lady, and he ended up kissing her. What can he do to make up for this sin? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs him to pray 2 rakahs of salah. And the verse was revealed. The verse states that for when you commit a sin, you should follow up your sin with a good deed, because good deeds erase sins. So when this verse was revealed, another Sahabi stood up and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this verse for him or is it for all of us? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this verse is for my entire ummah until the end of time. Meaning any Muslim until the end of time, when you slip up, when you make a mistake, when you commit a sin, what do? You make tawbah, you follow it up with a good deed, that good deed will inshallah erase that sin. Now again, look at the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, nowadays, you know, you hear a teenager kiss the girl. I mean, it's a sin, right? But the way some of us react, you know, that person will never tell you anything again in their life. You know, they feel like, and sometimes you make them feel like they're not even a Muslim anymore. Like they've committed, you know, such a major sin, there's no way back. But as a Muslim parent and a Muslim teacher and a Muslim elder, this is an important point. Anyone in the community younger than you that slips up, you should be the one to show them the path towards Tawbah. You should be the one to show them the way back to Allah. Don't be the one that puts them down, right? Somebody slips up. Instead of telling them, oh, you're not a Muslim anymore, you're a terrible Muslim, get out of my sight, don't come to our masjid. No, be the one to show them how to make Tawbah. Show them how to do good deeds. Show them how to lower their gaze. Show them how to avoid that sin in future. Show them the way back to Allah with gentleness and with compassion. Do not be the one who chases them away with harshness and with judgment. Rather, understand, young people are going to slip up. They are going to make mistakes. If they slipped up and made mistakes in Medina while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, what about in the modern world where we are surrounded with so much fitna that even people in the 60s and 70s are slipping up? May Allah protect us all from the fitnas of our times. May He guide our youth. May He allow us to be people of compassion. May He allow us to be people of wisdom. May He allow our communities to be united upon the truth. Subhana Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد. Now the hadith has two parts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not show compassion towards the youth and fulfill the rights of the elders is not one of us. Notice this is a two-part formula. If someone is younger than you, treat them with compassion, because they have less wisdom and experience than you. And if someone is older than you, fulfill their rights, because they have lived longer than you, and that alone entitles them to respect and to good treatment. Now we live in a time where this respect has been completely removed from society. People are taught to disrespect their elders. People are taught that your parents haven't done you any good. People are taught that, oh, you don't owe your parents anything. And this is from shaitan. This is a satanic methodology that has been pushed through individualism in the modern world. Islam teaches us that everybody is worthy of compassion and respect, especially those who have played a role in your life. Do not allow yourself to be tempted by this new age mindset that is all about me. When someone makes their life all about themselves, and now this message is for the youngsters, when you make your life all about yourself, you will live a lonely, miserable life. Because if you are not respectful to your elders, when you become an elder, the same thing is going to happen to you. If you are not respectful to your elders and compassionate to those equal to you and younger than you, you alienate people from you. You will have no friends, you will have no family support, because you focus only on yourself, so why would anybody else focus on you? In another hadith about compassion towards the youth, we have this beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in public and his grandson walked up to him and he picked up his grandson and he kissed him. So one of the Bedouin Arabs, you know, in a very macho display, he stood up and he said, I have 10 sons, I've never kissed any of my sons in my life. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, whoever does not show mercy, whoever does not show compassion, will not be shown compassion. Meaning, as you treat others, you will be treated. So to those youngsters who think that life's all about me and what I want and my rights only and I don't owe my elders anything, I don't owe my parents anything, understand, as you treat others, you will be treated. For society to function properly, we all need each other. Human beings are interdependent. We need each other. The elders need the energy of the youth. The youth need the wisdom of the elders. We have to work together. You know, when society functions properly, you have the elder passing on his wisdom to a young person who is going to continue their work after them. And that young person will be assisting that elder in things that he can't do anymore because of his age. And together they're able to live a happy life and they're able to make things work. But when it's all about yourself, you will find yourself one day regretting. If you don't respect your parents, if you don't respect your teachers, if you don't respect your elders, one day when they are gone, you are going to miss them. And there will be nothing you can do to make up for disrespecting them. Absolutely nothing you can do to make up for disrespecting them. Respecting your mother especially is so important. Listen to this narration. This narration fascinates me. And the first time that I heard of it, I couldn't understand it. Once Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was making tawaf around the Kaaba, and a young man walked up to him all worried, and he told him, "I murdered someone." What did he tell him? "I murdered someone. How do I make up for that?" So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "Is your mother alive?" And he said, "No." Then Abdullah said, "I don't know how you're going to make up for that." Meaning, if your mother was alive and you spend the rest of your life looking after your mother in old age, maybe that would have made up for murder. Like the respect of our mother is so high, or the rights of a mother is so high in Islam, that taking care of your mother in old age may actually make up for a major sin. Because understand, what is the worst sin you can commit? Shirk. And the second worst sin you can commit? Murder. Right? But even in that case where someone had committed the second greatest sin, still, if he had able to spend the rest of his life dedicated to serving his mother as an act of tawbah, because remember, your act of tawbah must be equal in proportion to the sin you have committed. Right? That Quran said, follow up a sin with a good deed. It has to be proportionate. If you committed a minor sin, a minor good deed makes up for it. If you committed a major sin, the good deed you have to do to make up for it has to be on another level. And so in this case, you know, the major sin of murder, the only thing you could think of to make up for it is to spend the rest of one's life taking care of one's mother in old age. And so that tells us something else. It tells us the rights of mother. And that's why Imam Al-Bukhari included this narration in his book Adab Al-Mufrad in the chapter called The Rights of Mothers. He didn't include it to talk about the murder aspect or the tawbah aspect. He brought it up to show how important it is to take care of your mothers. So understand, for society to work properly, we all need each other. Those who are young, be humble. Understand, those who are older than you, they have life experience, they have wisdom, they have things you can benefit from. Spend time with them, befriend them, take them as your mentors, develop a good relationship with them. And this will help you to grow into the best version of yourself. Do not be individualistic and egotistical and think it's all about me and I know what I'm doing. You don't. You're still young, you're still going to make mistakes. And those who are older, be compassionate to those who are younger. Be merciful and patient with those who are younger. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to slip up. They're going to do things that might drive you crazy. But if you are compassionate towards them and gentle towards them, you're always showing them the way back to Allah, always showing them the path to Tawbah, always showing them how to come back onto the straight path, then inshallah, you can help them grow into the best versions of themselves. At the end of the day, we are an ummah, and an ummah takes care of each other. The elders take care of the youth take care of the elders, and together we function properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, may He protect us, may He make us a community that is united upon the truth. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salam.